Welcome to this edition of the Heartfelt Ministries podcast with your host, counselor, author, women's minister, and Bible teacher, Dr. Joneal Kirby. Each week, Dr. Kirby, aka Dr. Mom, will give you practical life encouragement as she hits on topics like, do you want your kids to know and love God? Are you struggling with time to make memories with your children? Do you want to build a legacy of faith in your family? Is it your deep desire to have a stronger marriage? How can you be a good friend in today's social society? Dr. Kirby shares her heart with you, hoping you'll be refreshed and blessed each week. Heartfelt Ministries is an international women's ministry helping women all over the globe reach God's potential for women based in Titus 2. Now, for today's podcast, here's our host, the founder of Heartfelt Ministries, Joneal Kirby.
Hey, I'm so glad you're joining us again. If you've been missing us the last few weeks because you haven't been able to tune in, we just would love for you to go back, listen to some of the archives there on the website. And if this is your first time tuning in, we encourage you to listen any day of the week. We post new podcasts every Friday, and we're really happy to have you as one of our listeners now. We have with us here tonight, and it is tonight because we are on a trip on the interstate coming away from Tyler, Texas. We have been at the most incredible event. We've been at Priscilla Shire and her brother, Anthony Evans, event called Fervent. And it's a Wednesday night, so we just had church.
Amen.
With Priscilla Shire and Anthony Evans, and just thought, we have just been so fired up by this great time of worship and teaching and preaching from the Word of God. And we just want to share with you some of our thoughts and our impressions. And so here with me are Mindy Lancaster, who you love. And we had her in the studio a few weeks ago, and I know you absolutely loved it. And so Mindy went with us, and when I say us, the other person in the car with us is my assistant and the producer of our podcast, Stephanie Walker. Hi, y'all.
Hey.
Well, tonight was amazing, and we knew it would be because we are Priscilla Shire fans, and we love her Bible studies. In fact, Mindy, you just finished
Gideon.
Yeah. How was that?
Gideon was amazing. It gave me a new perspective of Gideon and how God shows up in places where we're not expecting him to be. We think we're hiding, or we're in a place maybe where God may not see us, or maybe he's not going to come after us here. We may even consider it a safe place to be able to do what we want. God still showed up, sent the angel to him where he was, and still called him a valiant warrior. And it just reminds us of what we're capable of in the strength and in the presence of God.
And I didn't get to be in that study because I was teaching one of my own, but Mindy has talked to me about it so much, I'm ready to pick up that study from Priscilla Shire and dive into Gideon, because the way she teaches it, the way Priscilla teaches it, it's so much more just than the two fleece that were put out.
Absolutely. I barely remember the two fleece.
Yeah. And she talked about that in her Bible lesson tonight. She went to Judges 6. A lot of her teaching tonight came out of Gideon's story. So let's just talk a little bit about what we came away with from tonight. Just what is something that really stood out throughout last, what was it, almost 3 hours?
Yes, it was.
What stood out to you, girl?
I loved being reminded tonight. I know that we try to do this when we do a conference or attend a conference, that why do you go if you're not going to put into practice what you've learned while you were sitting there tonight? And like we call it, it's an experience. So when you are involved in something that is an experience and it affects you from within your spirit, why would you leave it at the door? I love the thought of us being able to go together tonight and unpack this together and challenge each other, whether it's on a Sunday morning, whether it's on a Wednesday night, whether it's just in our own personal time with God, having a community to be able to unpack the things that we have learned and challenge each other to step outside of what they called the huddle tonight, being in on a football field in a huddle. If you sat there and everybody watched you for 3 hours in a huddle, how many people would come back to watch that?
Yeah, that was a great point.
It was a great point.
I loved it because he said you'll never know how to win if you continually stay in the huddle.
Yeah.
And I think as Christians, we're not bold enough with the power that lives within us to share. And when she first came out, she said, "I'm not a great preacher. I'm just a satisfied customer."
Yes.
And I thought, oh yes, we need to all be satisfied customers. We need to show the satisfaction that we have to those who are around us in our workplace or, you know, in our home, just on the street, wherever we're at. We just need to make sure that we have that, the light of Christ shining out of us.
Amen.
And she said several times, and I know I'm not going to word it right, but it really struck me, and I'm going to think about this, I think, a lot, is that there's so much that God has for us. And she said, and I want everything He has for me.
Yes.
In other words, I want to make sure that I'm always in a place where I can receive it and get it, and that God is not going to just put it in our hands, but he's going to put it within our reach.
Yes.
So we have to, in faith and trust and confidence in Him, reach for that, knowing that He wants to give us His blessing, the good things. He wants to give us His grace and His love and His mercy, but He also wants to bless us through the gifts, the talents that He's put within each one of us. And we don't need to listen for 1 second to anything the enemy tells us that's a lie about us, when God has said that we are chosen, that we are His workmanship, that He is going to continue to do a good work in us, to embrace for even 1 second of time anything the enemy tells us denies the power of God to allow us to be everything in Him. I love that whole point.
And on that, she said, until you know who you really are, you're hindering God's work in you.
Yes.
And everything hinges on, in your life, on that.
Yeah.
On how you see Him clearly, to see yourself clearly.
Yeah, I love that she talked about identity and who we are and who has the right to give us our name.
Yes, that was a great one.
And no one has the right to name us and call us who we are except for our Creator God. I love that. That was just a very, very powerful teaching. So how do we take that and not just mark that, well, it was a great conference, it was a great message, I was so inspired. How do we take that and, like she challenged us, you know, let's live it. Let's lead the church doing something.
I think it starts with Romans 12, where the transforming of your mind, renewing your mind.
Okay.
And how do you do that? By being in God's Word. If you're not in God's Word, putting that scripture within your mind, within your heart, praising in the Psalms, then you will never truly believe you are who He says you are.
I love that she started out with reading from the Word of God.
Yeah.
I was just that was so moving to me, that the very first thing that really came out of her mouth was reading from God's Word and reading praise to God. And I was thinking while she was doing that, because I read scripture every day and I study scripture every day, but I would love just that particular passage. I think I went back and I saw it was like verse, it was verses from Psalms 147, 148, 149, and 150 that she put together. And I thought that would be such a great reading just to do every single day, to just become more mindful of who God is. And so I think that's what you're saying, Mindy. You've got to get focused.
And we're doing a class right now where renewing your mind. And what that is, and it comes from, which Priscilla Shire is, I think, friends with Dr. Carolyn Leaf, and like on transforming your mind, like, and how do you do that? And so you spend, like, we're right now spending 7 days on one section of scripture, not just one word of scripture. Yeah. And where you're writing it out, you're writing your prayers, you're focusing on what the Spirit's kind of illuminating to you. Maybe it's one word out of that scripture. Maybe it's, you know, a whole phrase out of there. Like, how do you apply that to your life? And when you focus on that, and that's where your mind goes, the things start to change within your brain on how you react to things and what your response is. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you, O Lord. Well, when you, that's the first thing in your mind, you're going to stop. That spirit is going to halt you before you even open your mouth.
Right.
And so when you start seeing other people as God sees them, then you're going to start seeing yourself as God sees you. And that's going to change who you are. That changes your identity to who He says you are.
Did you get the lesson that I kept hearing her? And of course, this resonates with me, you know, with my background in therapy, that the change that happens is transforming, so it changes our relationships with people. And that's the crux of everything, what God wants us to change. There's nothing more important to the Lord other than our relationship with Him is our relationship with one another. And so everything that we take in from the Word of God is to be applied to how we relate to one another. And so everything that she was teaching tonight, and when she was saying that about, you know, we've got to take this out of the building. We the Christians have left the building so that we can go out into the world and love one another. And I feel like that's a message that we as God's women have to model so strong, because we are so relationship driven. Not that men aren't, but we're just, our brains are wired differently than guys are, and we're wired to take care of, to be nurturers. And I think we set the behavioral standard and the moral standard in our homes and our marriages and even in our workplace for how relationships are supposed to happen. And the more that we're in the Word, the more we have clear direction on what that looks like. Because, you know, it's an art. It's not a science. There's no black and white way that every situation with a relationship that we understand it. But the more we have God within us, the more wisdom, the more discernment we have, that is part of the way God wants us to respond, the way He wants us to lead, the way He wants us to talk, the way our behavior is manifested as being more Christ-like, can only happen if the Word of God is alive in us and the Holy Spirit works. Otherwise, we will just respond naturally, not supernaturally, but just naturally. I was listening to a podcast today, and the guy I was listening to is a well-known theologian, and he was talking about how he had overreacted to a guy pulling in front of him in traffic and cutting him off. And he said, I drove to my office, and when I got there, it just dawned on me that I'm well-known in this town. And what if someone had seen me saying something angry and saw my facial expression? They couldn't have heard my words, but they could definitely see my face. And he said, I risk everything I've worked for, you know, for 4 decades. I could have alienated people. He said, just for a natural response for something that may have cost me 3 seconds of time. And he said, you know, I just keep thinking that one day I'm going to be past where I'm going to have these natural responses. But he said, I have to die to myself constantly and call myself out when I see myself not responding in a godly way. And it just made me think that that's the way that we transform, what you were saying about the transformation of our mind. You first have to transform your mind before any of the actions will happen. And the only way you can do that is by submitting our natural self to the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. And the more that we are in God's Word, the more power God has within us.
Mindy and I were talking about this a few days ago. I'll just be real. I've been struggling with some relationships in my life. And, you know, I said, it's just uncharted territory. I don't know how to behave or act or, you know, how to communicate in these new situations. And, I said, but I've been listening to, Preston Sprinkle, and while his topics are different, he basically talks about how to love people and how to look at them as people and not label them. And I think that's exactly, you know, what Mindy's advice to me was, is you just have to love. You can't react emotionally, and you have to love, and you know, that relationship will grow from that. And I think that's what you're saying. Like, you know, God so desires us to have those relationships with people and to not overreact to those situations and just come at it with the Lord's love and not with those selfish desires that, you know, the flesh gives into.
And that's really the difference from what I understand Scripture saying that sets us apart.
Right.
It's not that we're weird or odd or strange people. The peculiar behavior is that we respond differently than people with a worldly view and don't have Jesus living within them. So I think that was huge tonight, what I heard. And what did Anthony Evans say that his dad told him about his feelings, his emotions had no, did he say no intellect? Your feelings are not wise. I can't remember what he said, but it was like, it's not truth. Whatever you're feeling is not the truth. He just had some kind of a funny thing he said, that your feelings don't have brains or something. And I thought that was such a good, although I can't remember the words, it was a good point, because you can't rely on your feelings. But yet, so much that you hear from the culture is you go with your gut. Mm-hmm. What does it feel like to you? If that feels okay, then it must be okay. That's so not the truth.
Right.
Because if we all lived on our feelings, we would live in a real angry world. Oh, guess what? We do. Yeah.
But you simply can't trust them. You cannot trust your feelings.
No. And it's like, one of the things I like to say is, or that, you know, I've learned, and is that whatever you're putting in your mind impresses on your heart and comes out of your mouth.
Yes. Say that again. So let me think about that.
What you're putting in your mind, whether that's visually or reading, impresses upon your heart, which flows from your mouth.
Okay. Yeah. So whatever is in your heart, it's going to come out.
It's going to come out.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's as if you want your feelings to be consistent with what you're thinking, mm-hmm. then you've got to change your mind so your feelings will follow. If you don't change your thoughts, your feelings are just going to be willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes we don't have any control over our just basic feelings about things. Feelings are just, they're just there. It's like, you know, someone who's training to do something that's very scary. Like say a soldier. Mm-hmm. He's still going to be scared. He's going to have the feelings of fear when he goes into a dangerous situation. But he's trained his brain to overcome that fear to do what's the right thing. And we as, I guess use the analogy, we as soldiers in the war here in this earth, is we have to train our brains to not react to the way we feel in situations. We have to do the right thing because our brain knows. It's our mind is controlled by the Spirit of God. So we're not going to just always respond and react to however we feel. You know, that's what 2 and 3 year olds do. You know, they yes. just whatever they're feeling. And, you know, I know as I hang around with my little ones, we say how funny it is that they're just falling apart, angry about something. And you come in and say, hey, you want to go outside and jump on the trampoline? Yeah. Tears are gone. Smiles on their face. You know, they're just as easily distracted by that because their feelings are just, they just come and go. And they have little control. Preschoolers and toddlers just don't have a lot of control over their emotion. My 4-year-old came in today and asked for an apple. And I said, sure, I'll get some. There's some cut up ones in the refrigerator. And they're already cut up. I'll put them in a bowl. And he said, I want a whole one. I want to eat it myself. And I said, well, I don't have any whole ones. And he just started crying. And I said, why are you crying? He says, because I want a whole apple. I said, but we don't cry about apples. What are you crying about? I'm crying because I want a whole apple. And I said, well, stop crying and we'll go look for one. And as we're walking towards the kitchen, I look over there and he's smiling. He'd just been crying. And I said, do you feel better? He said, yeah, I want a whole apple. We go to the refrigerator. There's no whole apples. They're only the cut up apples. He starts crying again. I said, are you really crying because there's no whole apples? Yes, I want a whole apple. I want to eat it whole, honey. I said, are you thirsty? He said, yes. And I said, well, let's just get some juice. Okay. I mean, now that all took place in less than 1 minute. And that kid was like a roller coaster of emotions. As adults, we have to grow up, mature spiritually to grow emotionally and to become what God needs us to be. As mature, godly women, we have to control our minds and our feelings to do the best we can in this life and not cry because we don't get the apple.
Well, I think it's like what she was saying about changing your circumstances. Your circumstances yeah. may not change, but you can change your mind. And that's just like, that's what yeah. we're training the kids to do yeah. in a sense of, okay, this may not be right. Sorry, you can't have a whole apple, but we have juice. So we're going to yeah. change your mind over to, let's forget about the apple. Let's focus yeah. on the juice. So for us, let's forget about the problem and let's focus on God. Let's focus on, you know, what he has already done for us. Just like I go back to that old song all the time. What am I going to do while I'm waiting? In the sense, I'm going to worship while I'm waiting. I'm going to serve while I'm waiting. But those are the things of where my mind needs to go when I know that what's in front of me, I cannot change it at this moment. Stephanie, you cannot change what's going on at this moment. The only thing you can change is your mind and how you focus on it.
Yeah. And that's such an important part of taking what we learn in church or in a Bible study or in a workshop or a conference like we just went to and put it into practice, is being able to take those words of inspiration. The teaching, the biblical teaching we got tonight was amazing.
Yes.
Amazing. But rather than it just be an entertainment, which, you know, it could be just...
Yes.
Enlightening and entertaining. But that's not what the purpose was. And that certainly wasn't our purpose in going there. We did want to see Priscilla, but we knew we were going to learn something. Yeah. So that's exactly what we have to do. We put it into practice in our lives through service and worship and love for one another, through growing spiritually, maturing, being more pleasing to God, just to develop more of an attitude of being grateful for what we do have in life, because, you know, our circumstances oftentimes, because we live in this world, are just not good and definitely far from perfect, but sometimes they're really lousy.
I shared that this week with somebody about how loss and pain, and we could so consume ourselves with the things we don't have instead of focusing on the things that we do have in front of us. And the thing that she reiterated tonight was about prayer and how that's a key, and how it's God's house should be a house of prayer. And how many lives do you think that hearts softened tonight because other people surrounded them and laid hands on them and loved them and prayed with them? And it's looking up and seeing two grown men who are in their 60s and 50s, you know, laying hands on each other. They don't know each other, you know, and we let the world tell us what is acceptable and what is not.
Exactly.
And instead of letting God's word define that, and it's just that was a barrier tonight for me that I thought, you know, but something I feel like that, you know, I'm starting to just lay down the walls with prayer within, you know, just speaking what the Spirit is leading me to over people or over my family and it not being uncomfortable, because this should be something that freely flows from us is prayer of thanksgiving, prayer of concern, prayer of just calling things out as they are.
Yeah. Well, and I love the prayer service, didn't y'all?
Loved it.
Ooh,
loved
it. Good.
It was good stuff. Good.
I mean, we started the whole evening with hearing from God's word, and then we went right into a prayer service that I didn't time it, but I would say 15, 20 minutes of a concentrated prayer service that involved the entire everybody in the conference.
3,200 people.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. It was 3, amazing. Over 3,000.
It was one of the most touching moments in a workshop or a conference that I've ever been a part of. I really love that part. And I was like you, just to look around the room and see people who probably were total strangers. Well, most of them were strangers, praying for one another specifically, being led into specific prayers with just an authenticity and a vulnerability that prayer demands. Prayer demands that we have that kind of authenticity. That's great. Well, anything else that y'all think of that we might want to tell our listeners about? You want to wrap it up with with one comment. I think the thing that I would encourage everyone to do is, well, two things. One is, if you're not familiar with Priscilla Shire's Bible studies, definitely.
Yes.
Go to the LifeWay website and you can actually access some of her things. I mean, we found some of her materials to be free. So I would check those out. Also, I think it's on YouTube where she has a lot of her lessons on there. They may be not entirely there. It may be a short version, but you will appreciate her talent as a Bible teacher if you watch some of it. And I encourage you, if you've never studied one of her Bible studies, to do that. And then the second thing is this. Her brother, Anthony Evans, is a phenomenal worship leader.
Yes.
And I did not know that until tonight. And I really, I don't know, for some reason when I read about the event, I thought it was kind of his introduction to it, and he's been doing this forever. And I did not know about it, but he is remarkable. So that's kind of what my takeaway and what I want to share to wrap up.
Well, I think my takeaway is one of the things she said about prayer, and she said that prayer unleashes the power that is within you and that is for you. And I thought that was super powerful. And, you know, none of us spend enough time with the Father. And I think that's my takeaway, that I want to make sure that I'm spending more time with the Father.
I like that.
And I would say, well, I guess probably a couple of things. Whether it's Priscilla Shire, whether it's, you know, a local event at your church, whatever it is, I would say take one thing that touched you, whether that was prayer, whether that was renewing your mind, whether that was whatever the word was. And it's so hard when you go to something like this, an event where you feel like you're being, you know, hosed, taking water in your mouth from a fire hose, and you kind of don't know what to do with it. Unpack it with your girlfriends. And the thing that hits you, focus on that right now. Is that prayer? Is that figuring out, you know, how to pray, what to pray? Is that you don't have a great attitude? The things that are coming in your mind are not very clean. Then focus on scripture. Because the one thing that she kept reminding us is that God never changes. And that everything that he puts is within our grasp, but it's a call to action. The words are verbs, and it's time to rise up and to live the life that he is so wanting to give us. And it's up to us to take that up and to live it out.
Well, that's a great place to wrap up. And thank you for listening and joining us here today. We are going to finish up our study on Abigail next week, so make sure you check in with us on that. And I hope that you will take what we have said today and it will be a blessing to you. Now, we'd love for you to go out and bless somebody today with anything that God has taught you and what's on your heart. Thanks for listening, and this has been Heartfelt Podcast.